unstoppable increase. Keys to unstoppable increase. You know, when God says something, it's going to come to pass. Nothing can stop it. God has ordained increase for every single one of you. And yesterday in the staff prayer meeting, Pastor just prayed out increase in our evening services. I want you to know we're seeing the increase. Hallelujah. In attendance and revival and the Holy Ghost and the spiritual atmosphere in these evening services. Glory to God. Can somebody say amen with me tonight? An increase by the Holy Ghost. The message tonight is keys to unstoppable increase. Let's look in Mark chapter 8 and verse 14. It says, "Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in their ship with them more than one loaf. And Jesus charged them, saying, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." In verse 16, they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." And Jesus knew it. He said unto them, see, the disciples just totally missed it. You know, it's real easy. Unfortunately, it can be a little too easy just to totally miss something that the Lord spoke to us. You know, He'll give us a word, and it just seems like it'll just shuffle right on in to the rest of the words that the Lord's given us. Like when Jesus spoke to His disciples and He said, "Let us go to the other side." Well, I want you to know that even a casual word with God Almighty is enough to throw the universe into existence. So if He says, "Let us go to the other side," a storm that erupts before you get there doesn't mean that you're going to sink. What God says is going to come to pass, and we can't let even one small jot or tittle of what He says go unnoticed. In Hebrews it said, "Let us pay attention lest we let slip the things that we have heard." So the disciples just totally missed this revelation. They totally missed what the Lord was speaking to them. In verse 16, they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." They're thinking in the realm of the natural. I want you to know tonight that increase begins in the realm of the Spirit. Your authority as a Christian is in the realm of the Spirit, and your increase begins in the realm of the Spirit. People can make the drastic mistake, and especially churches and ministries can make the drastic mistake of thinking, well, it's time for increase. And the first thing that they do is go to the planning board and begin to think and strategize in the realm of the natural of how we're going to see increase. But I want you to know that increase begins in the realm of the Spirit. If you want eternal increase, if you want increase, supernatural increase, you have to start in the supernatural. You don't start in the realm of the natural with planning and mental logic, and then suddenly, bang, you accidentally explode into the realm of the Spirit. No, increase starts in the realm of the Spirit. You've got to start in the realm of the Spirit. I'm telling you tonight, if you'll believe what I'm saying, you'll begin to see increase take place in your life. Or the increase that's already taken place, you'll begin to see it continue and rather than get halted or diminished. Because increase begins in the realm of the Spirit. You are a spirit being. I've heard it said that when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, that meant that He made Adam a speaking spirit like God. The words that you say have authority. You have the power and the authority to bring increase to your life. Hallelujah. And they reasoned about verse 17. And when Jesus knew it, He said unto them, "Why reason ye? Because we have no bread. Perceive ye not, neither do you understand? Have you your heart still hardened?" Wow, what a rebuke by Jesus. Verse 18, "Having eyes, you don't see, and having ears, you don't hear, and do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets did you take up?" And they said unto Him, 12. So 5 loaves of bread turned into 12 baskets. And I know you know the story, but we just need to see the numbers here. The math doesn't add up. God wants to bring increase, and He's bringing increase to your life and to this house, to the body of Christ, and He's using math that doesn't add up. Can you say amen? If your math doesn't add up for your bank account, God has increase for your bank account that won't add up. It'll be multiplied into your basket. Hallelujah. So you have 12 baskets? Where'd they get the baskets? 12 baskets full. Where did they get the baskets? Do you have baskets? Do you really, really believe in the goodness of God for your life? Do you really believe in the breakthrough that God's bringing to your family? Do you really believe in the breakthrough and the healing that He's bringing? Do you really believe in the increase that He's bringing to this house? Do you really believe in the financial increase that God has for you individually? Then where are your baskets? Well, I just got one little milk carton over here. That's all I got. No, Jesus is talking about 12 baskets left over. Do you believe in increase tonight? Do you really believe in increase tonight? Hallelujah. Verse 19, and when I broke the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full did you take up? And they said unto him, 12. And then he said, the seven among the 4,000, how many baskets full did you take up? And they said unto him, 7. So seven loaves produce 7 baskets. 5 loaves produce 12 baskets. This is supernatural increase. Now turn with me real quick to 1 Kings chapter 5. Talking about keys to unstoppable increase. Hallelujah. I'm going to go through and give you some awesome points here. 1 Kings chapter 5, King David experienced supernatural increase. For years and years, the Israelites struggled with their enemies. They struggled to take the land that God had promised them. But it took somebody at the helm, a mighty warrior, one of the greatest warriors of entire history, to begin to possess the land that God had given them. And David did that. But let's look at the results of what he did in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent to his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father, for Hiram was ever a lover of David. Verse 2, and Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, thou, you know how David my father could not build a house in the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord had put them under the soles of his feet. In verse 4, but now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. Look at this verse again. I want you to focus on verse 4. But now the Lord has given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. I want you to know tonight that God is planning. His plans are to bring you out into a place where you have rest on every side, to where you can look as far as the eye can see, to the north, to the south, to the east, and the west, and you cannot see an adversary anywhere. I'm telling you, David was fought. He fought battles all the days of his life. I mean, it was like that guy attracted a fight. If there wasn't a fight somewhere when David showed up, there was about to be one. I mean, he was anointed as a man of war. He came out from tending sheep, and they said when they went to Saul to say, you need to get David to play the harp for you. This kid is a man of war from his youth. He had never had any professional training, but yet he was a man of war from his youth. And he went and fought these battles. He took care of the Philistines. He defeated the Philistines to the point when he handed the kingdom over to his son Solomon, he was able to say, verse 4, but now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. I want you to know tonight that God has rest on every side for you. Rest in the area of your finances, where you can look as far as you want in your finances, in your bank account, and not see an enemy anywhere. God has rest for you and your family, where you can look as far as you want in your family tree, in the living family tree, and not see an adversary anywhere. This is the increase that God has for you. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, you can get this. I'm not going to preach till 12 o'clock just because it's a revival service. This is supernatural increase. My message tonight, keys to unstoppable increase. God has increase for you that cannot and will not be stopped. Cannot and will not be stopped. Just because it looks like the devil's hindered something doesn't mean that it's going to continue to be that way. Just because it looks like the devil defeated something and something died doesn't mean that it's going to stay 6 feet under. He is the resurrection and the life. If there's something in your life that has gone 6 feet under, it's not a corpse in the ground, but it's a seed that you have sowed. And I'm telling you, it's coming up 30, 60, and 100-fold. Glory to God. That thing you thought, oh my goodness, this should not have died. What a great disappointment in my life. I'm telling you right now by the Spirit of God that that is just another step in the plan of God's increase for your life. And God doesn't rejoice in the pain that you walk through, but sometimes it's just going to hurt a little bit. Hallelujah. I don't get shouts of amen on that one, but it's the truth. Sometimes it's just going to hurt a little bit. It hurts to sow a seed. It hurts sometimes. I'm telling you, I've sowed financial seed into people. When I gave that thing, it was with fear and trembling, man. And I felt that in my gut. Like, oh, Lord, how am I going to pay the water bill? What's going to happen? I'm telling you, the Lord's faithful and He'll take care of it. So in the life of David, I'm going to go through some keys for unstoppable increase in the life of David in the next few minutes. The three things that I want to talk to you about right now, number one is you've got to be positioned for increase. Number two, you've got to be conditioned for increase. And number three, you have to possess the increase. You have to be positioned, conditioned, and then you have to possess the increase. Because like I've said before, your breakthrough, your increase is not going to come like gold bricks just raining down from heaven. I mean, if you're praying to win the lottery, I pray that your prayer doesn't work. Because most of the people that have won the lottery have just ended up in worse financial condition than when they started. God has increase for you that comes through the realm of the supernatural. It's going to come through sowing. It's going to come through the principles of the Word. Glory to God. Position for increase. I want to talk to you about that for just a few minutes. Three things. You've got to pass the pressure test to be positioned for increase. The Lord is going to run you through a pressure test. Well, the devil's attacking me. Yeah, the devil's attacking you, but the Lord is running you through. God will remove mountains in your life, but other times He's going to have you speak to the mountain. You may speak to the mountain and nothing moves at all. But He's going to give you the faith. He's going to build you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to get you to the place where you can speak to that mountain and move that mountain right out of the way. He may have you go over the mountain, around the mountain, but God's going to walk you through. You've got to pass the pressure test. Now, just let me talk to you for just a few minutes. There will be situations you have to walk through that will put what seems to be like an unbearable amount of pressure on you. Like the Israelites when five kingdoms came against them at one time. All the neighboring nations got scared of the Israelites, and all five of them made a league and came against Israel all at one time. Unbearable pressure. You think, my goodness, my finances can't get any worse. And then all of a sudden the water heater breaks, and you just barely scrape out the money for the water heater in your car. The stinking car broke down. It's not, look at my awesome car, that's the stupid car now when it breaks down on you. It breaks down and now you're stuck, and you're like, my God. You know, and you think if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all, and all this stuff. And it gets challenging at times, but God's walking you through the pressure test. Let me read this to you right here, because pressure will produce some of the most valuable things in your heart. All right, just trust me on this. Pressure will produce some of the most valuable things in your heart. God wants to do a work inside of your heart that you could not reproduce with a 40-day fast or a 50-day fast. He wants to do something inside of your heart that's greater, and it has eternal value to where you can speak to the mountain and you're going to see unstoppable increase. But you've got to come to a place where you can walk through pressure and not fold up, you know, like a $2 watch and just fall apart. I remember, this is interesting, back in 1999, I had just come back from the mission field. I spent a year with Bobby Crow down there in the mission field. And I came back. And my life has never been the same literally since this night in 1999. I just remember it was the summer of 1999. I apologize if I was Kenneth Hagin. I'd know the date and the hour and everything. But it was in the summer of 1999, and Pastor, as he still does, and I love this, when he finishes preaching a message, he'll often call people to the altar just to let the Lord deal in your heart. And I remember, if you remember in the old building, we had a staircase that was kind of like three-sided right here. And I'm standing right here by the platform and the staircase in this little corner. And Pastor's praying. We've been there for about 5 or 10 minutes, and I see a little piece of trash on the ground. It pays to pick up trash in the church. I bend over and I pick up this piece of trash, and as soon as I come up, I'm putting the piece of trash in my pocket, and I come up and all I see is Pastor's giant hand coming down on my forehead, and I don't remember what he prayed. All I know is he prayed something and the power of God hit me, and it was extremely powerful, but it wasn't like one of those times when it's just all giddy. I didn't know what happened, but I just knew that something in my life had shifted big time. And ever since that day, I've been walking through more battlefields, more challenges, and had to face more giants and seen them fall, hallelujah, than I had up until that point. You know, and I was in the hospital when I was 2 weeks old, and I don't remember the string of physical problems that I had. I was in and out of school. with a lot of health problems. I mean, my life hadn't been particularly the easiest in the world up until that point anyway. But when Pastor laid hands on me, something opened up inside of my life, and something happened with that, a transfer, I don't know what you want to call it, but all of a sudden, things like the pressure test began to take place in my life. I mean, the amount of victories escalated, I mean, to a point where I couldn't comprehend it, but you can't have that kind of a victory take place if you're not going to fight a bigger giant. I mean, come on, this isn't Super Nintendo and PS4 and whatever all those games are where you can just go beat the biggest level and all, you know, I'm not a gamer. This is real life, people. I know you're the same way. And all of a sudden, these huge giants begin to come in my life, and my life has never been the same since he laid hands on me that day. And things like the pressure test begin to take place. And the next thing about being positioned for increase, you got to pass the test of time. Three things about being positioned for increase begin to take place in my life, took place in the life of David. The pressure test, you got to pass the test of time, and you've got to pass the test of trust. God's going to have you walk through things that take time. Oh, how I wish that you could just get on your knees and cry out to God, and 5 minutes later, you get an answer for anything and everything. I remember doing that, trying that one time. And I was like, I'm going to raise my voice, and I'm going to get as loud as I possibly can for as long as I possibly can. I'm telling you, nothing happened. I wanted to slay it. I wanted God to do it in my own time. But God will have you walk through the test of time. Listen to this right here on how diamonds are produced. Valuable things in your life will take place through pressure. The Lord will walk you through pressure. The Lord's not beating you up. He's training you. The Lord will be the most loving father you can ever imagine. And at the same time, he will be the most challenging coach that you could ever imagine. Can I get, who said amen? I was sinking and dying right there. Thanks, Mark. You saved me. The Lord will be the most loving father that you could ever imagine, but he will also be the most challenging coach. I'm telling you, he will kick your rear in gear sometimes. And pass the pressure test, the test of time, the test of trust. Listen to this. I just almost shouted when I pulled this up. How diamonds are produced. Diamonds are produced by burying carbon. Of course, man doesn't do this. God puts it down there. But carbon dioxide down 100 miles into the earth. It's heated up to, it reaches a temperature of around 2,200 degrees Fahrenheit, extreme heat. This isn't a clod of dirt out on the side of the road over here. I mean, this is a diamond. It's squeezed under pressure to 725,000 pounds per square inch. I mean, that's intense heat, 2,200 degrees Fahrenheit, 725,000 pounds per square inch. That's pressure. That's heat. That's challenge. But you got to pass these tests, and I know that you are. But look at the number four, the fourth thing that they have here. It quickly rushes towards the earth's surface to cool. God's got a quick breakthrough for you. If you can pass the pressure test, the test of time, and the test of trust, he has quick increase for you. Hallelujah. The next thing, condition for increase. You've got to be positioned for increase. You have to be conditioned for increase. Three things under that. I'm just going to read these to you. Honor the anointing. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 14. David honored the anointing, and he honored the man of God. If you want to be conditioned for increase, you've got to honor the anointing. And he had temperance with power. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 3, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to tell you that David, when he was king of Hebron, before they came and anointed him as king of Israel, he had the ability to walk over to Israel with his army and wipe Israel out. He was called and anointed as king of Israel. He knew it. He knew it for years. He had the ability just by force to go and take it because he was prophesied that by Samuel. He knew that's what God had called him to do. At any moment, David could have just gone over to Israel and just shut them all up and wiped out Abner and all the enemies over there, but he didn't. He had temperance. He was patient, and he waited for the will of God. You've got to have power in your life, but the temperance to just trust God and not move and let the Lord bring you something. It's so important you understand what I just said. You've got to have the power and the ability to do something, but if the Spirit of God doesn't nudge you that direction, then you just sit and you stay still. Well, Lord, I could have preached that a whole lot better than David King could have. Well, probably. But if the Holy Ghost is going to put you in that position, then he'll do it. You got to have the, when you have power in your life, when it's worked by the Spirit of God, you will be able to stand there and know, I could have taken that. I could have taken that enemy. I could have moved on this and seen a great, I could have done this, but I'm giving God the glory and I'm trusting God and I'm waiting on God to open the door. David sat and he waited in Hebron until Israel came, and it was a peaceful transaction. The leaders of Israel came and they said, we are bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And they made him king voluntarily. See, David was temperate in all things. He wasn't going to be pressured. If success, if the reach of success is close enough to you to where you will violate peace, to where you violate the fruit of the Spirit to get to it, where you'll step on somebody to get to your success, I mean, just step right on another preacher, right on somebody's servant, right on somebody that looks insignificant to get to your success. If success is that close to you and you'll do something like that, then it's just not, you're not quite ready yet. See, David had temperance. These are keys to unstoppable increase, because when God's increase comes to you, nothing can stop it. But if you miss one of these things, you're just going to delay the process. The devil wants to come and deceive you and say, well, if preacher so-and-so or if the boss so-and-so administrator at your company had just promoted you, you're way better than that person over there. If you'll begin to reach your hand out and begin to try to promote yourself and not wait for the hand of God to promote you and push yourself and promote yourself, I'm telling you, you're just going to slow the process down. Trust God. David was temperate. He had temperance with power. God will give you power. He will give you the ability to increase, but you've got to be temperate in all things and have temperance and not push, not be pushed by the devil. If the devil can't stop you head on, he's going to push you from behind, try to get you to push towards success too quick and pull the trigger at the wrong time. You've got to know your timing. You have to know your enemy, and you have to know who your company is. A lot of people would have thought, well, Abner and all these guys in Israel, they're my enemy, and gone, nope. Nope. David honored the anointing on the leadership of people that weren't honoring God, but they were called in position of God, and David didn't move against them. He waited. The third thing I would talk to you about real quick is you've got to possess your increase. There comes a time when you've got to start moving. There's a time when you've got to exercise temperance, patience, long-suffering, when you can't move on something, when it's not the right time. But when the Holy Ghost begins to nudge on you, I'm telling you, you've got to take that step of faith and begin to move. You may have felt like that you've been beaten, battered, and torn. One thing that David had to deal with at Ziklag was heartbreak, loss, and defeat, because he came back to Ziklag, if you read the whole story, and all the wives, the women, and the children were all gone. They'd taken all of his possessions. And when you're in that place, it's so often, I don't know why, but it's so often when you're in that place of extreme loss and defeat and you feel like you've lost everything, that then God comes and tells you, move. Get up and take the enemy. It's time to start advancing. I mean, you were 5 years ago, you were just Johnny on the spot, you thought. You thought you were the biggest show in town, and if Pastor Bob just would call on me, I'm telling you, I'll turn this whole thing around in 5 minutes, and we'll, whatever, and you just, or your boss, if my boss would just let me make me the chief salesman, we'll turn this company around in 5 minutes. And you just thought you were the biggest thing and the biggest show in town, but all of a sudden, God begins to work on you. The devil's taking shots, you're slaying giants, and then when you just feel like I don't have anything left and you're sitting there in Ziklag and you don't know how you're going to make it, then God tells you to move. When God tells you to move, you got to move by the Spirit of God, and don't miss it. Hallelujah. You got to move by the Spirit of God, and don't miss it when God begins to speak to you. So many of you have keys that this house needs for the increase that we're seeing taking place and we're believing God to take place, and you've got to move on that. Hallelujah. Possess the increase. You've got to advance. David prayed and he obeyed. It's got to come out of the place of prayer. He moved quickly. And David's first victory that he fought as king was at Baal. They named Baal Prism, the god of breakthrough. Second thing I want to tell you about, possess the increase. Number one was advance. Number two is do it in Christ. If you can just bear with me 5 minutes, this is good stuff. I need to give it to you. Hallelujah. Do it in Christ. Peter, when he was walking on the water, he was doing real good when he had his eyes on Jesus. And you can read this in Galatians chapter 2, that our faith must rest in the faith of Christ. You may want to do a word study on that phrase, the faith of Christ. But our faith, we are not to have the mindset that we are to be gathering our own faith right here so that we can go and take care of stuff. We are not to operate outside of being in Christ. You've got to do what you do in Christ. Peter had to rest in Christ when he was walking on the water and he had his eyes on Jesus and he was moving in Christ. He was able to walk on the water. But I'm telling you right now, what Peter began to think was, I got this. Look at me, I'm walking on the water. He took his eyes off of Jesus. He got out of that in Christ place. And he began to think, my faith is strong enough to walk on the water and defeat these wind and the waves. And he began to sink. See, you can be succeeding and you can think, my faith, I, the I giant. Oh my gosh. You get around people that all they can talk about them is themselves. You can't shut them up fast enough. Oh, how the Lord loves to listen to that. And all of a sudden, I slayed the giant, and I this, and I that. The moment it's not all about Jesus, I'm telling you, you're starting to sink. Your faith can be slaying giants and walking on water all day long, right when you're in Christ, right here. But the second you begin to think, I'm doing this, this is about me, and now you turn away from Jesus, and it becomes about you and the giant, and it becomes you about you and the storm, it becomes about you and the victory, and Jesus isn't the number one, and you're not in Christ, I'm telling you, you're going to begin to sink, and the increase that God has for you is going to be delayed. So keys to unstoppable increase. The third thing, possess the increase. You've got to advance. You've got to do it in Christ. And the last thing I want to tell you is you've got to be a radical sower. You've got to be a radical sower. Jesus sowed a boy's lunch. He borrowed in order. When he worked both of those miracles and he fed the 5,000 and he fed the 4,000, Jesus borrowed somebody else's food. He borrowed the disciples' bread and fish, and then he borrowed something from a little boy. You think, God would never do that. That's radical sowing right there. Because if your harvest doesn't come through, then you owe somebody something. You got to pay your disciples back that food and explain to them what happened. But Jesus was a radical sower. Your harvest and your increase is going to come through radical sowing. You cannot begin to hold on and retain when things get difficult and things get challenging. The devil wants you to stop sowing. But you've got to be a radical sower. Live off your seed. This is the last thing I'm going to share with you tonight. Live off your seed. Faith is sowing seed first and then working for your harvest. Did you catch that tonight? Can you just take one more point? Hallelujah. Your faith has got to be set at sowing first. My increase, my harvest is coming through my sowing first. And then second to that is your job. If your job becomes your highest provision, your highest point of provision and supply, and your sowing becomes secondary, well, you're putting God in the secondary place. I'm not saying you got to sow every dime you have and sow your bread. You can't sow your bread. That's never going to work. But you have to trust God. You have to have your sowing. Your faith has to have your sowing first. You got to be a radical sower. And a sower. A sower is somebody that lives off of their seed. Somebody who sowed, that's somebody who just sowed a seed. They tried it. They moved on. But if you want to see a harvest in your life, you've got to become a sower. Somebody that lives off the seed that you sow. And God has an unstoppable harvest for you. Can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up on your feet? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Unstoppable harvest for you. Amen. Did you learn something tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for unstoppable harvest. Increase on every person. Increase here at Calvary Cathedral. Financial increase. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The harvest that we've sown into the outreaches and everything pours into this house. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say amen tonight. Hey, Brother Charlie, I'll just turn it over to you.
Hallelujah.